This is LabCast, insights and ideas for the expansion stage senior manager, hosted by OpenView Labs.
Hi, and welcome to LabCast. I'm your host, Jonathan Crow. Today we have Nancy Narden. Nancy is the founder of Smart Selling Tools, an information and advisory firm specializing in sales productivity tools and strategies for driving revenue. Nancy's a pioneer in sales prospecting technology. She's also one of our top 25 sales influencers for 2013, so we're very excited to have her here. Nancy, thanks for joining us.
Thanks. I really appreciate the invite.
Absolutely. Well, I'm really happy that you accepted and that you're here. And, I know that you've worked closely with many of the Silicon Valley's leading VC firms and their portfolios. You had a lot of experience working with companies selling software and tech. Therefore, you know that these companies typically run into kind of complex buying processes, and a lot of times buyers are not only have their own decisions to make, but they're also involved with several stakeholders that have to sign off on things. And despite what we all might like to think, very few products and solutions are no-brainers out there. In fact, many require a lot of decision-making. I know this is an area that you've been thinking a lot about, and that one of your passions is really simplifying things and raising productivity and getting through with solid messaging that really helps salespeople kind of break through that stalling or that indecision that can happen in the buying process. So I was hoping that you could talk a little bit about some of those things that you've suggested on your blog.
Sure, I'd be happy to. First of all, I've been in sales myself for 25 years, and you would think that maybe selling would get a little bit easier over time, especially with the different technologies that we have and that the buyers have. But in fact, as you mentioned, it's gotten a lot more complex. Not only are more people typically involved, it's gone from, on the enterprise side, an average of 4 buyers participating in a purchase to 7 being involved. So that adds to the complexity. And then also the period of time that it takes to make a purchase has extended. So we're looking at somewhere around a 6-month period of time to come to a purchase decision. So for a seller, that can be very frustrating. You feel like, well, the buyer has bought off on everything you've said. They like the idea of the product. They like the idea of the usefulness. So why aren't they buying it? Why aren't they actually making a decision?
Right.
And it can be frustrating. I call that the maybe purgatory. So you kind of get stuck in this. Forecasts keep getting pushed out. That makes your managers unhappy. But what I've realized is that when deciding to purchase is a much longer journey than just coming to the conclusion that a product is going to be useful and valuable. So the purchase decision involves a lot of things that may not have anything to do with the product itself. It may have to do with the person thinking, can I really pull this off? Is it really doable? Well, can I implement the product? Do I have enough mind share? Do I have enough energy and bandwidth? And can I get all of the buying influencers on board with me? And then also, is it the most important thing in the context of all the things I have to deal with? So that, again, adds to the complexity, and it makes it difficult for salespeople.
Right, absolutely. And so one article that I saw on your blog, you actually referred to a concept that you referenced from a book called Decisive from Chip and Dan Heath, and it was ooching, and that was very compelling to me. I was hoping that you could kind of explain how you were taking the concept of ooching and saying how that could be useful for salespeople.
Sure. Well, first of all, for anyone who hasn't yet read Decisive or the other books by Chip and Dan Heath, like Switch and Made to Stick, I highly recommend them. They're not about sales, but they're about the psychology of making decisions and making changes. So they're very relevant. And when I read Decisive, one of the concepts they brought up is this concept of ooching. I guess it's a Southern term, but what it really stands for is this need to test out your decision, to test out whether or not your logic is really in line with reality. So what I suggest and how it relates to sales is that you want to give your buyer your buyer wants to test out whether or not they're going to really make the right decision. And oftentimes we try to get the buyer to go from, yeah, that sounds really good, I like your product, to yes, I'll buy.
Right.
Well, it doesn't work like that. They need little ways to test things out, to test out their thinking. And that's what ooching is all about. So a lot of times when we're stuck in maybe purgatory, it's actually because we haven't given the buyer any way to ooch, to test out what would really happen if they went forward with a decision. What happens next? What is the next step? So I'd like to talk about, don't try to get them to the actual purchase right away. It rarely works, especially in complex sales. It never works in complex sales. What you need to do instead is help them visualize the process and help them visualize what the next step is.
Right.
So if I can give you an example of what an ooch might be, let's say that, you know, someone has said, well, I'm interested, you know, call me in 2 weeks, or, you know, they just keep pushing you off. So what do you do? I think a good ooch is to say, well, Jonathan, listen, I understand it can take time to make such an important decision. Why don't we do this? Why don't we just put the decision aside for a short time and let's just run a simple test. Let's see how just one of your folks responds to the system. You know, that's a great way for you to quickly learn whether we're on the right track together. And would it be worth getting that feedback before going any further?
Right, and that's a great way, too, to take the pressure off from this person, too, having to make that decision, which can be kind of an intimidating thing to do.
Very intimidating, and they can't put themselves there because of that. And listen, complexity kills deals. So anything you can do to eliminate that complexity or uncertainty, because uncertainty is the other factor that kills deal. Time is the third one. And so ooching helps with all three of those.
Right. And so, you know, what's one way that, you know, you can take this concept of ooching, you know, you're trying to take kind of baby steps forward in a way. And how can you kind of, you know, as a sales manager, say you're interested in this concept and you're interested in your reps doing this, but you're also interested in them moving forward as quickly as possible. You don't want to really want to introduce additional steps of what they're supposed to be doing. Do you have any thoughts about that, about how you can kind of...
do that and still not extend the sales process?
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, that's a really good question. I think that by introducing these steps, it actually shortens the sales cycle because it puts what the buying process is into a more concrete, I guess, process for the buyer, right? Mm-hmm. So they don't always know how to buy. They don't, especially your kind of product, because they haven't bought it before, most likely. So it's the sales rep's job to help them process, help them understand what the visualization is, or what I call a process visualization. The prospect has to have a clear visualization of how the process is going to work, not only to make the decision, but also once they've made the decision to buy. So anything a salesperson can do to help them understand that is going to shorten the sales cycle, not elongate it. And therefore, you want to lay out what the steps are, to maybe say, these are the typical steps that my customers have taken. This is what it looks like. You'd be amazed that a lot of times the buyers would just go, oh, okay, now that's very helpful. Because, for instance, let's say they've got a complex product, and it's at some point going to require the IT approval or an IT's input. Mm-hmm. And you know that IT is going to have questions about it, and that always comes up in your sales. Why not have a document put together with a FAQ specifically for the IT community? And you can say to your buyer, listen, what typically happens is your IT group is going to say to you, hey, wait a minute, I've got a bunch of questions. So help them understand what's going to happen so they're not surprised by it. And then give them the ammunition that they need in order to be able to handle that situation.
That's really great advice, because I think it's easy for any of us really to kind of get stuck in our own heads. And when a lot of people in sales or marketing are talking about, you know, buyers and buyer journey, it almost sounds like they're talking about this breaking into this puzzle that they're trying to solve, and there's an assumption that the buyer knows exactly what the right path is and all the keys, and the buyer themselves may not really know the process because, like you pointed out, maybe they don't know how to buy this product or solution. They've never done it before.
Absolutely. And again, that leads to uncertainty, and uncertainty is a deal killer. Have you ever heard of the studies called the tappers and listeners?
Actually, no, I haven't.
Okay, so you brought up a great point about how the buyers don't always know everything that the salespeople would probably think they know. And so this study, what it was, is a group of students were put into the tappers category and a group were put into the listeners category. And the tappers were tasked with tapping out songs. Different songs, right? Okay. So they had to just tap it out, nothing else, just taps. And then they were asked ahead of time what percentage of the listeners did they feel would get the song they were tapping out. And most of them said something like, oh, you know, 75, 80% are going to understand it. In reality, the number was much lower, something around 10 or 15%.
Wow.
Because what happens is the tappers are sitting there and they are humming the tune to the song in their head. So they have the benefit or the curse, if you will, of knowledge that the listener or the buyer doesn't have. So salespeople have this song, if you will, or this knowledge or this insight or perspective that buyers do not have. And they're sitting there tapping, thinking that the buyer is going to understand it, when in fact they don't, because they don't have that knowledge that the rep has.
So we really need to be able to get the buyers involved in the song more, be able to hum with them.
Exactly. Now you might, you know, sometimes we think of that as dumbing it down. And in a sense, we have to do that, and not because buyers are not smart. They're very smart. In fact, that's why we have to dumb it down, because buyers, they will start to analyze everything, and it's our job to help them know what limits to put on that and what to do when and the kinds of questions to ask. So that's what I mean by dumbing it down, is helping to simplify that process of analyzing it for the buyer.
Right. And that actually kind of segues nicely into another question I wanted to ask you, and that's tying into the idea of the concept of the golden nugget, because you know, we've been talking a lot about making things more clear for the buyer and helping them, you know, take away complexity, take away uncertainty, kind of leave them with something very clear. And I think that that's what you're talking about with the gold nugget. Can you talk a little bit about that and why it's so important?
Yes, definitely. So the golden nugget is all about getting your message to stick. Have you ever sat in a sales call, maybe where you're the prospect and someone describes their product to you, and at the and you were feeling more and more excited about it, and by the end of the meeting you're thinking, wow, this is a really cool tool or a really cool product, and you're very excited about it, but now you walk out of the meeting, your colleague says, well, what was that meeting about? Why did you like it so much? Now you're the one that's forced to have to put that into words.
Meanwhile,
you've been in the meeting, and all of these thoughts have been floating around your mind. You have this sense, it makes sense to you because of your internal dialogue about why you like what you heard. But when you have to articulate it, which is what happens every time a prospect is done with a sales call, they have to articulate it to someone. They have to, you know, rally their internal influencers and the other six people that are involved in the project. So
right.
They have to articulate it.
And now I'm a tapper too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And make sure that they're prepared to articulate it before you leave that meeting. And that's what the golden nugget is all about. What is the most critical must-have element of your message that you want to leave them with? And buyers are only going to be able to understand probably one main message. You want to give that help arm them with that one message. So when that person asks them, they can say, here's why I like it. It does this. They won't necessarily know that. So it may be different for every buyer. So it's your job as a salesperson to help them articulate it before you leave. Mm-hmm. And you might say something like, you know, we talked about a lot of things today, and, you know, a number of them seemed to get you, you know, excited, or you seemed to make you, you know, that you could relate to. But if we, you know, if it really came down to one thing, or can I ask you a question? What would you say is the main thing you'll remember most from our conversation today? Because, and they're going to stop and think about it for a minute. They're not going to know the answer to that. And if they need a little help, isn't it better for you to know that now so that you can help them come up with it? And if they're kind of stumbling, or they come up with a couple things, then maybe you could even help them out and say, well, would you say it's this? And help them put it into words. That goes a long way towards helping them feel more confident in why they were excited about it, but also being able to defend it afterward. And so much of the sale happens not when you're in front of that customer, but in between.
That's a really good point. And, you know, I imagine, too, being able to kind of deliver that golden nugget and getting this down is something that, you know, takes a lot of practice on a salesperson's part. To be able to kind of hone in on what that is, and then also be able to kind of give the buyer ammunition effectively. And so one other thing I know that you're super passionate about is basically time with sales. You mentioned it before. It's one of the killers that can kill a deal. It's also one of the most important things for salespeople. You got to have time on the phones. You got to have time talking with your customers. And so, you know, going kind of back all the way to the beginning of the podcast, we're talking about how with sales tools, it's very common for people to think, oh, all these advancements, everything should be easier. And as you pointed out, things are actually a lot more complex a lot of the time. Can you talk a little bit about, you know, some of your work and some of your tips and thoughts about, you know, productivity and improving it?
Sure. And my site, Smart Selling Tools, is all about sales tools. But I'm not interested in tools just because I think they're neat. I'm only interested in tools to the extent that they can lead to productivity improvements. And productivity improvements are the most effective way to increase revenue radically. What happens is managers get in a bit of a trap in their thinking that the way to increase sales is to hold more sales training, to hold more product training, to hire more sales reps, to put the hammer down on them to say, go on more calls, you know, what kind of appointments are you having, to really apply the pressure. But there's another way that is a lot smarter and a lot more effective, and that is to make sure that they use their time efficiently. And I don't know why we don't look at it that way today, because it's sort of like the automobile industry started to look at things early on when they realized that we need to go from craftsmanship to a more, you know, production line approach.
Right.
We don't have that yet. In sales, it's still very much a craftsman-like approach. And the Japanese have a word for waste in the production process, and it's called muda. So I pose the question, is your sales process full of muda? And, you know, muda, if you can eliminate that, and I'll give you an example. So you have 215 selling days in the year by the time you take away for vacation time, sick days, holidays, weekends, etc. That's your sales capacity. You only have 215 selling days.
Right.
The number of people that you can talk to within that time, that's all you have. That's all you can sell to. You can't sell to more prospects than you can talk to within that time. So your goal is to talk to as many prospects as possible, to have as many high-level quality conversations with quality prospects.
Right.
But you don't actually have 215 days, which is an equivalent of 1,720 hours, because we know that approximately 35% of a salesperson's time is spent actually communicating with prospects. The rest of it is part of the production process, if you will. So it's creating proposals and arranging meetings and figuring out what your schedule should be and reporting on forecasts, all kinds of things, some of which is MUDA and some of which isn't. So the key is to become more efficient at the things that are important but are not selling, like talking to a prospect, and eliminating the MUDA altogether.
Right.
And if you can actually increase the amount of time you spend selling from 35%, you know, move that needle. If you can save 1 hour a day and convert that to time that you spend holding sales conversations, and you have a million-dollar territory, because you got to do lots of math, then you can figure out what your average per-hour sale is. Once you move the needle and you free up an hour for communicating with more prospects, that translates into more than $350,000 of increased revenue. That's a 35% increase. I don't know of any other thing that you can do that's going to move the revenue needle that radically.
No, absolutely. That's real value. And I mean, it's not the tools because they're cool. I mean, tools because they're going to bring that type of value, because they're going to save you that time.
Absolutely. In fact, I would say CRM is not a productivity tool. So don't be buying CRM because you think that it's going to help with productivity, because it doesn't. And that's because it introduces as many new processes and time consumers as it saves.
Right.
So is it an important tool? Probably for most companies. But is it a productivity saving tool? No. So you've got to look beyond that. And sometimes, you know, it doesn't have to be hard. It can be really simple things. I don't know if you heard about the UPS, you know, classic example of the left-hand turns.
It's such a great example. It's really
yes. So just, you know, for the audience, I mean, UPS at some point realized that if they could just eliminate left-hand turns altogether, that they could save hundreds of millions of dollars in time and fuel charges. Because when you sit at a left-hand turn light, or you wait for the cross traffic, you're just losing time. So they made the strategic decision to figure out how to route things so that they only made right-hand turns. Now that's, you know, that's a pretty simple kind of concept. Didn't require them to invest a whole bunch of money into tools or processes. So look for those kinds of simple steps that are getting in the way and keeping your salespeople from being efficient. And to do that, though, you have to get involved in how your salespeople spend their day, but not from a disciplinary point of view, but from a point of view that you want to help the salesperson earn more money, and they can do that if they're more efficient. So let's figure out where the wastes are, where's the MUDA in the process, and let's systematically figure out how to eliminate that.
Right. Well, Nancy, that's great. And I have to say, I'm really, you know, so happy you were able to join us today. I love your site. And for those listening, can you explain a little bit about where people can, you know, find you and your writing and your work, and also connect with you?
Sure. Well, the Smart Selling Tools is where you can find all kinds of information about the top 40 sales tools, in our opinion, and what they do. Then we also have a site called Sales Productivity University. And that is a place where you can go and take a short course for free on different tools, so that by the end of it, you have a good understanding of what that kind of tool does and whether or not you would need it. Because a lot of times we just get so confused. We hear about so many different tools and we don't know where to start. So Sales Productivity University is a great place to start. And then if you're considering tools, another site to check out is one that I'm launching this Thursday. And the site is called Hushly. So if you are looking at tools and you want to know what should you be considering, you're trying to gather information, shorten that sales cycle, purchase process, decision process down, and go to Hushly, invite multiple vendors at once anonymously, and communicate with them to gather the information you need to create your short list. So that's the third site that I would recommend, hushly.com. And then last is the blog post that you mentioned. And thank you so much for including me as one of your, you know, top influencers and bloggers on the sales topic. That was very flattering. The blog can be found on the Smart Selling Tools site.
Okay, great. Well, I definitely recommend all of those sites. Nancy, this has been a pleasure. I hope we get to do it again soon. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Thanks. I sure appreciate it.